that says introduction. It's Introduction to 2 Timothy. Let's open with a word of prayer. Our Father, we pray for our nation as we begin this morning. God, we pray you will heal our nation. We pray, Father, for times of refreshing that come from you, that they would come upon our nation. That we would turn to you and that you would heal us. You are the only one who can. We ask you to bless us now as we open up and introduce this study. I pray that you will speak personally to our hearts, that you will just speak life into us, Father, and hope, encourage us, and we just bless your name together. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have been a Christian for right around 50 years now. And I'm 72 years old. And do you know what it means when you get into your 70s? It means that you start to say goodbye to many of your mentors. Your heroes of the faith, those who were running ahead of you, and they were blazing the trail, and you were following after them. Just recently, sadly, I said goodbye to three of my very favorite mentors. On May 20th, Kay Arthur died. She was 91 years old. And even though she stepped down from active leadership of Precept Ministries in 2012, and her son David sort of took the reins of that ministry, she still remained involved and active, and she still taught till she couldn't teach anymore, and she wrote materials right up until she died. And I owe so much to her. I truly loved her and admired her deeply. She is the one that really taught me to study my Bible. She taught me to teach the Bible. I was so honored to have met her personally and studied under her many, many times. And many of us in this room took our teenagers to her Precept Teen Weekends. And many of my children were blessed to have been able to attend what she called her summer boot camp for teenagers. And it had such an impact on their lives. And she's gone now. And then on July 14th, another one of my heroes died. And his name was John MacArthur. He was 86. He was the pastor of a church called Grace Community Church in Sun Valley, California, which is right outside of Los Angeles. He started being the preacher at that church when he was 29 years old, and he faithfully taught and preached there for 56 years. He was such a gift to the church as a whole in our generation. He inspired believers through decades of faithful preaching to know, to love, to live out Scripture. He was passionate about teaching the next generation of pastors. He started the Master's Seminary. Each year he had a Shepherd's Conference, which was a conference for pastors. And pastors from all around the world, even, and the United States, would come. I, just for fun, tried to estimate how many of his sermons I've listened to. I've listened to over 1,500 of his sermons. I've read scores of his books. Bill gave me a set of his commentaries for Christmas years ago. I have poured myself over those commentaries. And then Bill helped me to check off something that was on my bucket list. Y'all have a bucket list. He took me to Sun Valley, California, and I went to church in his church. And I didn't want to be obnoxious and sit on the first row, so I sat on the second row. And he just walked in the, you know, the sanctuary, and I was like, Bill, there he is, there he is. And he got close by, and I said, please take my picture. So I went over, I said, oh, could I please have a picture? And so Bill took my picture. Oh, it was just such a fun thing for me. And John MacArthur has really impacted my children, too. They all have benefited from his resources. I've learned so much through him, and I've shared a lot of what I've learned with you, and so you've benefited, too, from his ministry indirectly through me. He's taught me, I've taught you. And then on21st, another great man of God went to heaven, and that was James Dobson. He died at the age of 89. He was one of the most influential evangelistic leaders in the late 20th century. And if you're close to my age, as you were raising your children, you read his books. How many of you have read Dare to Discipline, Bringing Up Boys? But my favorite one that really helped me the most was The Strong-Willed Child. And I had a very strong-willed child. And I really, really needed that book. He headed up the ministry called Focus on the Family, and two of our children were able to go spend a whole summer out in Colorado Springs at their headquarters. And they hosted every summer. They did it year-round, but they went in the summer semester. It was something called Institute for Family Studies. And it was a semester where college students came for college credit, and they studied the family from every angle. And two of our children did that. In fact, Ben met his wife at Institute for Family Studies. So I'm so thankful for James Dobson. I never met him personally, but his ministry was a powerful voice in my generation. He was a wonderful mentor to so many, especially to me. And this morning, as we come to study 2 Timothy, we come to another great gospel hero, another one of God's greatest servants, the Apostle Paul. And I really, really feel close to Paul. I feel like I really know him because I've taught most of the New Testament. I've spent literally hours with Paul studying. When Bill and I married, after we had been married 30 years, we took this wonderful cruise to celebrate it. It was a Mediterranean cruise. We flew to Spain, we got on the boat in Barcelona, and we came all the way down in the Mediterranean, all the way down to the very tip of the boot of Italy to Rome. We got off of the boat and we stayed in Rome for several days, and Bill arranged a wonderful tour for us to go to. We had a private tour guide, and it was the tour all about Paul, the life of Paul. And it was a dream come true for this Bible teacher. I toured the very prison where Paul was being held when he wrote the letter of 2 Timothy. And I want to tell you about it as we start out our study this morning. It's called the Mamertine Prison. It's located near the Roman Forum in the city of Rome. And originally, it was built in the 7th century BC as a huge cistern in the ground. But later, they took that cistern. It was made of stone. They turned it into a dungeon prison. It actually had two chambers, and one was on top of the other. And prisoners were, the only way in was to be lowered down through a hole in the ceiling. There was no other way in or out. It was cold. It was dark. It was damp. It had very little ventilation. It was foul smelling. It was very cramped. And there was room for around 30 criminals in that dungeon. And very often they were placed in there and they were chained. And it was a place for prisoners who were awaiting execution. Now, if you go there today, there is a small chapel that marks the spot. And what you do, you enter the chapel and you descend some steps to a lower chamber, and you can actually see the prison. It's something to see. And I remember standing there, and it was very moving, thinking about my hero at the end of his life, chained in this dungeon. This wasn't the first time he had been imprisoned in Rome. It was actually the second time. But the first imprisonment was a house arrest. And that had lasted 2 years. But Paul had a good bit of freedom during that time of incarceration. He had access to his people. He actually had a very fruitful ministry during those days. And Scripture tells us that many from Caesar's household, along with the whole Praetorium Guard, were saved during those 2 years. Because one by one, as they were chained to Paul, they got saved. During that imprisonment, the first one, he wrote 4 books of the New Testament, and they're called the prison epistles. And they are Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Now, we're studying 2 Timothy, and 2 Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy, and Titus are called the pastoral epistles. Now, after he was released that first time, he continued in his ministry. He met Timothy in Ephesus. He left Timothy there, and he also took another young man named Titus. He put Titus on the island of Crete, and he put them there for the purpose of setting the churches in order. And then he left and assumed his missionary tour. We don't have that tour documented as the others were documented in the book of Acts, but we do know he visited Macedonia, Necropolis, Crete, Miletus, some say, and think he even went as far as Spain. He very likely went to Troas, but we just don't have a specific record. During these years, he wrote back to Timothy, and that has become 1 Timothy. That was a letter. He wrote that to tell him some more instructions on what to do in the church at Ephesus. So there's a period of about 5 or 6 years between 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. A few years after Paul wrote that first letter, something very terrible happened. It happened in 64 AD. Nero, who was an insane madman, he torched the whole city of Rome. The whole city burned. And he didn't want to be blamed for it, so he blamed the Christians. And as a result of that, an avalanche of animosity broke out against the church. In fact, because of that, persecution broke out in all of the Roman Empire. And that is what caused Paul to be arrested and to put into prison, because he was the leading spokesman at that time for the Christian faith. And they took him back to Rome and they dropped him into the hole in the ground at the Mamertine prison. This is where Paul is when we come to study 2 Timothy. He's chained and he's sitting there in that cold, dark, damp, stinking dungeon. The only one who is near him during this time is Luke, precious Luke. And so in that dungeon, he sets out to write the last letter he will write. So we're studying, really, Paul's last words. And we're so privileged to be studying them together. And so let's just go to verse 1 and let's listen to the first words of this letter as a way of introduction of this wonderful man who we know as the Apostle Paul. So verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus. Now this verse tells us who Paul is. It tells us what he is. and it tells us why he is what he is. So first of all, let's look at who he is. I want to start by looking at Acts 22:3, and it's on your handout. It's going to help us put a summary together about his life. Verse 3 says, Paul says this, I'm a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. Now he's speaking of Jerusalem. Educated under Gamaliel, strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God just as you are today. Now the first thing I want you to write down about Paul is that he's born in a significant place. He's born in the city of Tarsus. He's born in the country of Cilicia, the region of Cilicia. This was a province of Asia Minor, and Asia Minor is just modern-day Turkey. And Tarsus was the capital city of that province of Cilicia. It was one of the learning capitals of the whole world. And so Paul came from a very significant city. It's a place people would have known about. And he was also, because he was born there, he was born a Roman citizen. Now here's the second thing I want you to write down about Paul. He was educated by a very respected, a very influential teacher of the law in the Sanhedrin at that time. The most famous teacher of Paul's day. His name was Gamaliel. So write that down. Gamaliel was a very honored man, a very influential man. He was a Pharisee. And then I want you to write down this about Paul. He himself became a very successful Pharisee. Because you see in that statement in that verse 3, he says he went on to be more zealous for God. Very zealous for God. Philippians 3 gives us a little more insight about him. He was circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is found in the law, he was found blameless. Acts 26:5 says, Paul says there, I lived as a Pharisee according to the strictest sect of our religion. And he was so zealous. Look what Acts 22:4-5 tell us about him. He says, I persecuted this way. Now, when he says this way, speaking of the church, he persecuted them to the death, binding and putting both men and women into prisons, as also the high priest and all the council of the elders can testify. From them I also received letters to the brethren and started off for Damascus in order to bring even those who were there to Jerusalem as prisoners to be punished. And that is when it happened. That is when it happened. Listen to his testimony. How did you get saved, Paul? Well, let's look. Verse 6. But it happened that as I was on my way, approaching Damascus, about noontime, a very bright light suddenly flashed from heaven all around me. I fell to the ground. I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting believers? What did he say? He was persecuting believers. But this voice said, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, who are you, Lord? He said to me, I am Jesus the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me saw the light, to be sure, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, get up, go on into Damascus. And there you will be told of all that has been appointed for you to do. But since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. A certain Ananias, a man who was devout by the standard of the law and well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me, and standing near to me, he said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at the very time I looked up at him,
And he said, "The God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear an utterance from his mouth. For you will be a witness for me to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now why do you delay? Get up, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Now here we see, according to his first birth, he was from a significant city, privileged to be taught by Gamaliel, the leading scholar of Judaism of his day, become the most zealous Pharisee, and then he literally meets Jesus, and his new birth begins. And so write this down. Jesus makes him an apostle. A chosen instrument. His salvation and his calling as an apostle were not by human choice. They were by God's choice and God's will. And we find out why he is what he is. And so write it on your handout. He says, "I'm apostle." How? By the will of God. Paul, why are you an apostle? "Well, I'm not in this line of work because I went to guidance counselor. And I took a test, and the guidance counselor said, well, you'd make a good apostle. You should be an apostle." No, it wasn't his career choice. It was by the will of God. I think his conversion story is probably the most incredible one in all of the Bible. He was not seeking Jesus. He was seeking to kill Christians, to persecute them. And we see here Jesus was seeking him. Let's look at that word apostle for a minute. It means one who is sent forth. It's kind of like an ambassador who goes someplace to represent another person, who has a message to take to others on behalf of the one who sends him. And it also means this. It means to be set apart. And we need to understand this because the word apostle in the New Testament, it has to do with an office that only the Lord Jesus can give to people of the New Testament. And he gave him not only the office of an apostle, but he also gave him the authority that goes behind it as well. So what qualified a person to become an apostle? Write this down. They had to be directly appointed by Jesus for the specific purpose of spreading the gospel and giving us the doctrine of the New Testament. Now listen, the apostles are to the New Testament what the prophets are to the Old Testament. And so Paul just says, "I'm an apostle by the will of God." But did you notice he comes on the scene as an apostle late in the game? I love this about him. He never felt worthy to be called an apostle because he said, "I persecuted the church." Listen to what he says about himself in 1 Corinthians 15. "Then Jesus appeared to James," he says, "then to all the apostles, and last of all, as it were, to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Next, to look with me at 1 Corinthians 9:1, we find Paul saying this, "Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen the Lord Jesus Christ?" So to be an apostle, you had to have witnessed seeing his resurrected body. So put that on your hand there. And both of those things happened on the road to Damascus. His life is fascinating to study. He's a man that's backed up by the authority of God. And when he speaks, his words are going to become scripture. And they're recorded for us in the New Testament. Now let's go to Galatians 1. Because I want to share with you some fascinating details about Paul's journey in these verses. It may be something you didn't know. Look with me, starting in verse 11. Paul is speaking here. Here's what he says. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me, it's not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. But when God, notice, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace. Now I'm going to stop right there. I want you to let that sink in. It was all of God. Everything he has was by the will of God and the grace of God. Isn't that so cool? Go back to the verse. But when God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Now pay attention. This is what I want you to see. He says this, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. Now look at me. Where was he when he got saved? What city? You know, we just read it. Don't be ashamed. Damascus, right? Where were the apostles? They're all up in the city of Jerusalem. He didn't go up to Jerusalem, he said. No. He didn't go up and say, hey guys, guess what? I saw Jesus. Yeah, I'm that bad guy that everybody's trying to hide from. But I saw Jesus, and Jesus told me I'm to be an apostle. No, no, no. Let's see what he did. Go back to the scripture. He says this, but I went away to Arabia and returned once more after that to Damascus. Then 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas, who is Cephas, y'all. He's Peter. And I stayed with him 15 days, but I did not see any other of the apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now let's think about this. Here's Paul. He's actually Saul. He hasn't been named Paul yet. He gets saved as he's heading to Damascus. Then what does he do next after he's saved? He goes to Arabia. And when he's done in Arabia, he comes back to Damascus. And then he goes up to Jerusalem, but he only sees Peter. And then he meets James too. James is the Lord's brother, and he's actually the preacher of the church, the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. Girls, what was he doing for 3 years in Arabia? What was he doing? Why, he was in seminary. I have a grandson that's about to go to seminary, train for the ministry. It's a very important step. Paul needed to be trained. Paul needed to be instructed. Paul needed debriefing. He needed to get the gospel in his mind. He's going to become a key player in the writing of the New Testament. He's going to be the one that puts the definition of the gospel in the scripture for us. And in the Gentile world, they're going to need to hear clearly what the gospel is. Well, Teresa, tell me more about these mysterious 3 years in Arabia. What was that all about? Well, where is Arabia? Well, it's In modern day Jordan, northwest Saudi Arabia, and southern Syria. And get this, I read this week. This is so cool. Many scholars think he might have gone near Mount Sinai, the place where God gave Moses the law, suggesting that it could be symbolic. Here's Paul, a former Pharisee, now receives the gospel of grace, but he doesn't receive it from man. Who does he receive it from? Who? Jesus himself. Go back to that verse, Galatians 1:12. I've got it bold print on your handout. For I neither received it, what's the it? The gospel. From man, nor was I taught it, the gospel, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. This is why many Bible teachers believe that during his time in Arabia, Paul was personally instructed by the risen Lord, much like the other apostles spent 3 years with Jesus in his walk on earth. Paul himself spent 3 years in Arabia being instructed by Jesus. It was a time of revelation, a time of preparation, a time of deep spiritual formation. He was given an extraordinary understanding of the gospel. Just read the book of Romans. It will blow your mind. It's an absolute masterpiece. He received an extraordinary understanding of grace, of God's plan for the Jew and for the Gentile. It was a very necessary time of preparation for the massive mission that God was about to entrust to him. You know, there's something about hearing a person's last words. Have you ever been with a person and heard their last words? They carry a real weight about them. You pay close attention to anyone's last words. And can I just say, this study is going to be so rich because you and I are going to be hearing Paul's last words. I'm so looking forward to teaching this. I'm going to teach it to myself first. Then I'm going to teach it to you. And can I just tell you, it's my new favorite book of the Bible. Listen, as Paul closes this letter, I love these words. He says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. His life really did matter, didn't it? He fulfilled God's calling on his life. Can I just say, your life matters? Your life matters too. Y'all, this is our generation. You and I are also on the racetrack running the race. We are also in the arena fighting the fight, and God is calling us to be faithful. Well, Teresa, I'm retired now. I'm taking it easy. Well, God, listen. Paul was an old man in jail. But here's what he says. The God whom I serve, that's present tense. He never retired from serving God. You know, God really has no retirement program. Mm-hmm. Teresa, how long are you going to teach? Well, I have a friend. She knows who she is. And I told her, if it's ever time for me to quit, would you please let me know? You know, some people just go on and they really need to quit. You know, she said, I will, I'll tell you. But God has no retirement program. Well, Teresa, I mean, I'm not qualified. I'm not good enough. I'm not qualified. Well, we're going to see as we study this book, Timothy didn't feel very qualified at all. Why? In fact, he's way in over his head. And so was Paul. But God is faithful. But Teresa, listen. I'm having some health issues. I'm just not in the best of health. When I get in good health, then I'm going to really do more. Well, you know what? Timothy wasn't in good health. We're going to find out that, you know, he had stomach issues. He probably had an ulcer so much on him. I don't know. But Paul said, look, just drink a little wine. That'll help your stomach. Keep on going. Keep on going. But Teresa, I'm so shy. I'm just too timid. I'm really an introverted person. I don't have the personality to get out there and to do and to lead. Well, neither did Timothy. He was very shy and very timid. But Teresa, I tried one time to serve God. I really did. And you know what? I got criticized. Yes. That's very unfortunate for you. Just go talk to Paul about it, okay? See what he has to say. You see, Paul is going to run beside us, and he's going to encourage us to push ourselves. He's going to say, you need to finish well. He's going to say, you need to be faithful. You've got to keep going. Why, you can't drop out of the race, because look, eternity is just ahead of us. And I really believe God is going to use this study to equip us and to encourage us to take our place in our generation and serve Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and all our strength. Amen. Now, next week, I need you to do lesson one in your homework. It's not hard. It's not going to take a long time. But I want you to prayerfully do it. It's your overview. She's going to have you looking at the whole book. Because, you know, when you put a puzzle together at home, what do you put together first? You put together the sides, right? So next week, we're going to be putting together the sides of our puzzle. We're going to look at the big picture of 2 Timothy. You're going to be really reading it and underlining this, reading it and marking that. And you're going to have in the back of your book a chapter by chapter. You've got to do an outline of the book. Oh, that's when you're really going to want to call ChatGPT. But don't. Just look at it. I told Carolyn I really want a copy of that from her old book. But you're going to be looking for keywords. You're going to read it 100 times. And that's why I say you're going to be memorizing a lot of it. So take time and do your homework. Then come back next Thursday morning and go to your small group. Come by and get some coffee. Head to your small group. And we're going to be off on the journey of 2 Timothy together. And it's going to be so delicious, isn't it? I'm looking forward to it. Are you? Amen. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for the privilege, the blessing, the honor to sit around tables with one another and to study your beautiful word together. It is the word of life. And Lord, we're so needy for it. We look forward to all you're going to do through this study. We thank you for this man, Paul, this precious man. We think of him there sitting in that dungeon and writing his last book of the Bible. He was so faithful. God, we want to be faithful. Is that what your heart is saying this morning? So take your word and grow us and equip us. You do equip us through knowing your word. You mature us. God, make us mature. Make us women who are living on mission in our city. And we pray, God, that you will give us time next week. Help us to be committed to sit down and to handle your word. And I pray that as we come back next week, we'll handle it together in our small group, and we'll be off on the adventure of learning your beautiful word together. And I pray your blessing on every church represented in this room. On every precious pastor that stands in our community week in and week out and proclaims your glorious word and your glorious gospel. I pray your blessing on them and their families and their congregations. God, I pray that you will grow us in our churches. You'll bring people in our town to come sit in the pews to fill our churches. We just bless your name together this morning, God. Our eyes are on you. We thank you for this time. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll see you next week.